We're going to open with prayer. If you want to get your Bible ready for when we start, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Okay, are we ready to pray? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, thank you so much for giving us this beautiful morning. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time with brothers and sisters in Christ. God, who motivate us, who encourage us, God, to walk in love. I thank you, Lord, for blessing the events that have taken place already this morning. Thank you for blessing the young people and those who have worked so hard on the play. We just thank you, Lord, for the message of Christmas. We thank you that you came and became one of us so that you could die in our place. And we thank you that you took up your life again and defeated death, so whoever believes in you will live forever. And Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We want to continue to cast our cares on you. And Lord, we want to pray for Corinne. We pray, Lord, you'll bless her foster care meeting this week. We pray, Lord, that your will be done. And we pray that you'll give Corinne wisdom when it comes to making these decisions. Father, we want to pray for everyone that's traveling this week for the holidays. And we even have some in this room, Lord, traveling. We pray, Lord, that you'll keep them safe. We pray you'll keep them healthy. We pray, Lord, you'll bless our meetings with our families this week. We so look forward to it. And I just pray your presence will be felt there. And everywhere we go, Lord, I pray you'll help us to remember we're taking you with us. Help us to shine a light. Lord, we thank you for the word we got about Delton. We pray, Lord, that you'll heal him of his prostate cancer. We pray that this the news that he got will indeed be as good as it sounds. We pray they'll be able to remove that spot, Lord, and he'll be cancer-free. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Gary. Please continue, God, to keep him safe and healthy. And please continue to bless his treatments, Lord. And we pray that he will indeed be healed of the leukemia. And please continue to bless his family, Lord, as they're walking through this with him. We want to pray for Lori Jackson. Lord, we pray you'll continue to give her the care she needs. And we pray, God, that you'll give her strength. We pray that there will be healing there, Lord, and she'll be able to continue to do the things she loves and be with the people she loves. And we thank you for surrounding her, God, with your presence through so many people. And Lord, we want to pray for Christina Doring. Lord, we pray that you would bless her with everything that she needs. We pray you'll deliver her from pain. And I'm thankful, Lord, that she's able to call and say over the phone that she's ready. She's ready to be with you, Lord. I just pray you'll bless her and her family. Give them all the things they need, God, things we can't even mention. Things they may not even know they need. I pray you'll bless them. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for giving us time to look into your word together. Please bless it. Please help us grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to focus on one thing this morning in class. We started a conversation last week, if you remember, about the devil and how much power he has. Everybody recall? We started to talk about that. And I cut that short because I had about 4 pages of notes for our lesson to go through. But I want to go back to that and talk about that. So let's read Proverbs chapter 30. We're still going to tie it to Proverbs. That's what we're studying in class, is the book of Proverbs. But let's read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. The Bible says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." So we're going to talk about the devil and his power and God and his protection, okay? And to do that, we're going to take a close look at the book of Job, chapter 1, just a couple books back to the left in your Bible. Go to Psalms and then go to Job, chapter 1, and we're going to get, God is going to show us behind the curtain things that are taking place in the spiritual realm that we can't see unless he reveals them to us. And we're going to take a look at the fact that the devil is on a leash. He's on a leash, and he can only do what God permits him to do. You have to remember the devil is a created being. He is not equal with God. When the devil was created, he was created as an angel. He was perfect in all his ways, the Bible says, in Ezekiel 28. If you want to read some background on the devil, he was perfect in all his ways. He was beautiful. He has musical talent, which is something we could probably spend a whole class on. He has musical talent. He's beautiful. But something happened there as he was guarding around the throne. His pride got the best of him. And he decided that he should be God. And he rebelled against God's authority. And he was cast out. He was cast out. It says in the book of Revelation that he took a third of the angels with him when he was cast out. Where was he cast to? He was cast out of heaven. And he was cast to the earth. The devil and his angels, the demons, are here. What are they doing? The Bible says in the book of Peter that the devil is roaming about. He's going to and fro on the earth, looking for someone to devour. That's what he's doing. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? His kingdom is the world that is outside of Christ. His kingdom is the world that's outside of Christ. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but he's called the God of this age. He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. He is the Spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. Those who are disobeying God, they are rejecting Christ. He's working in their life. The Bible says they've been taken captive by him to do his will, which is where we all were before we gave our lives to Christ. We were captive and doing his will. But in Christ, we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been brought into the kingdom of light, and so he doesn't have power over us like that anymore. No longer are we slaves to sin, but we're now servants of God, children of God. Does that mean he can't lie to us anymore? No, he can still lie to us. Does that mean he can't try to tempt us anymore? No, he still tempts us. And can anybody say amen to that? Have you ever just been minding your own business? No, you never mind your own business? Okay. That's next week's lesson. Thank you for being honest. You mind your minding your own business, and you can have some of the most wicked thoughts that ever crossed your mind. Where do they come from? Strange, right? So we're still in a spiritual war, okay? And we are the ones that the devil has declared war against. The devil is not at war with those who belong to him. He's at war with those who are outside of his kingdom now and attacking his kingdom. When I prayed, I talked about taking that light with us everywhere we go. And as you do that, as you live for Christ, speak about Christ everywhere you go, you're attacking the kingdom of darkness. And he's declared war on us, it says in Revelation 12:17. He's declared war on those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. But how much power does he have? That's what we're going to talk about in Job chapter 1. So let's read in Job chapter 1, verse 6. I know we've read this before. You may have read this a lot. This is amazing that God pulls the curtain back and we get to look behind the scenes at what's going on in the spiritual world. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So there was a meeting with the angels. Satan is no longer a son of God, right? He's an enemy of God. But he comes and he eavesdrops on this meeting that's taking place. The Lord notices him there. He knows he's there. It's not like he had to notice him. He knows he's there. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Here's one of the ways that the devil lies, by omission. There's something missing there in his description of what he's doing, right? I already told you in the book of 1 Peter, it says that the devil is roaming about. That's true, but he's seeking someone to devour. And the devil here, when he answers the Lord, he says, "Well, I'm just walking around. Just walking around, doing nothing." It's a lie by omission. By the way, that's people's favorite way to lie. It's easier to just not say something than to tell a lie. So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro and on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Remember how we talked about last week? How it's more important that our praise comes from God, not men. This is God giving praise to Job. Does that make sense? What God has to say is what matters. Anyway, verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. This is incredible to me, that you here have Satan acknowledging what God is doing for Job. Satan acknowledges that God has put a hedge around Job and his family. I have to tell you, when I was looking at that this week, it really struck me. I just had a moment there where I was like, wow, I'm so thankful that God has taken care of me and my family. Satan acknowledges that you put a hedge around him. You know how Satan knows there's a hedge around him? Because Satan would like to kill him. If he could, Satan would kill Job. But he can't. So he confesses, you put a hedge around him. You've been protecting him. Not only that, he says, you have blessed the work of his hands. You need to know, Job is wealthy. He's got a lot of cattle and things like that. He's got a big farm, but he's a worker. I want you to notice it says, you blessed the work of his hands. I'm thankful for that. That when I put forth my hand to work hard, God adds his blessing to it. It's a confession by the devil that God is providing for him. Not only protecting him, but providing for him. Yes?
Job is a believer and Satan wants to kill him, well, when he dies, he'd be with God anyway. So why does he want to kill him?
The devil has what the Bible calls an anger problem. The devil is full of wrath. And he's on the earth just to murder the objects of God's affection. If the devil can't hurt God, who he really is angry at, the next best thing is to attack his children and to make them suffer. And you're going to see, as soon as he's given a little bit of permission, you're going to see how he responds. So the devil is accusing Job of only trusting God because God is doing these great things for him. Okay? Another name given to the devil in the Bible is the accuser of the brethren. The accuser. He likes to try to make us look bad. He likes to assume our motives, all those kinds of things. And he's wrong about Job here. He's wrong about Job, but look how he accuses him. Job only trusts you because of all that you're giving him. So he says in verse 11, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, challenge accepted. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So there you see the first example of the fact that Satan is on a leash. Okay? He couldn't do anything to Job or anything that he has until God said, okay, go. And he still puts a limit on it. He says, "You can all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." Even still, there's a limit to how far he can go. You see? He's only able to do this because God gives him permission. Does that make sense to everybody? Otherwise, he could not have done this. Otherwise, he could not have done this, and he hadn't done this up until this point.
But why would he give him permission to do something like that?
Why questions about why God does stuff? That's tough. That's tough. But this is something. The book of Job, we believe, is the oldest book of the Bible. The oldest copy of any writing we have at all. And this is something that God has given us so that we can learn the things that we're talking about right now. And not only that, but it says in the book of James that God had an intended purpose. And in the end, you see that God restores double everything that was taken from Job, which is something else we talked about last week, how even though God gives permission and bad things do happen, okay, God is able to take whatever it is, okay, and work it together for the good. I don't understand why or how, but I just trust that he knows what he's doing. Yeah, God's the one that started this whole conversation. God's the one that said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" But this is incredible that this is here so we can learn all this. Look what happens when the devil gets a little bit of permission to go. Verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, these guys are lining up. Another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Now just look at this. Look at the speed at which all this takes place when the devil just gets a little bit of permission. Job's children are all gone, but that's not all. Everywhere there were servants overseeing everything that he had, they're all gone except for the ones that escaped to tell him. This is carnage. This is carnage. This is what the devil will do, and this is what he does do. How does Job respond? Verse 20, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Well, the devil was wrong. The devil was wrong. Job did not curse God to his face. Quite the opposite. Job fell down on his face and worshipped God. Because Job understands something that all of us need to understand. That God's in control. He said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I'm not saying this is easy by any stretch of the imagination, okay? And I'm not saying there's no pain involved here at all. That's what all the, him tearing his robe, shaving his head. I mean, there's pain involved here. I'm not discounting any of that at all. But when we know and understand who God is, when we know his heart toward us, that's the only way we can say things like this. We understand we don't charge God with wrong. But again, I just want to remind you, the devil already confessed God's hedge of protection and God's provision for us, and I just want to remind you to be thankful for the good things you have in your life, because the devil you see here, if he could, he'd destroy it all. Okay, so, round two. Are you ready for round two? Chapter 2, verse 1. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life.'" Do you see this snake, what he's trying to say? Well, sure, you didn't let me touch him. Of course, he'll let everything else go just so he can live. What an accusation. All his children are gone. He's trying to say Job is just praising you because you didn't touch him. Sick. Verse 5, "But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. There it is again. Gave him permission, but even still he put him on a leash. He can't kill him. Can't kill him. So what does Satan do? So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils. By the way, does this shock anybody that the devil's able to do this kind of stuff? There was a fire that came down from heaven in the last section and killed. What was it that came down? There was some raiders that came in the camp. Then there was a fire that fell from heaven. There was some more raiders that came in. There was a wind, a great wind that came and knocked down the house where his kids were. And now he struck Job with painful boils. That turns my brain sideways to think about he is able to do stuff like that. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. I know people are hard on his wife, but I think you have to... I wasn't going to laugh. Someone giggled.
I'll laugh with you.
You'll laugh with me? Because I heard someone joking about this. They said, of all the things that God allowed to happen to Job, keeping his wife was one of them. It's a joke. Yeah, she's... But we got to be patient with her. We got to be patient with her because do you realize she's going through the same thing that Job is? And can I tell you something else? Job is being a pretty awesome example for his wife here. Listen to this. Listen to this. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. I mean, she lost 10 kids too, guys. Pretty crazy. Verse 10. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. All this happened and was written for a reason. What an example of faith. We gave our lives to Jesus Christ so that we could live in heaven forever, okay? Does that mean that we're promised that nothing bad is ever going to happen? Shall we accept good from God only? And then turn around and curse him to his face when something bad happens? But the point is, I wanted you to see that the devil, this was only allowed to happen by God. The devil is on a leash. And what else, you also see, if the devil was able, he would kill us. He would kill us. If the devil was able, he'd kill us. He'd take everything we have. He'd destroy everything that God has given us. But he cannot. Why? Well, we started with Proverbs 30, verse 5, that says that God is a shield to those who trust in him. He's protecting us. And God is well aware of the work that the devil is doing in the world. From beginning to end, we see that God is in control, and the devil can only do what he's allowed to do. Now, coming soon... We read about, in the book of Revelation, the great tribulation that's coming. The worst time the earth has ever seen will take place, and that's because the devil will be in charge of the world through the Antichrist. All of that is coming. You see it in the book of Revelation. During that time, an innumerable amount of people, you can't even count the number of people during that time, will come to Christ and be saved. But they'll be in a terrible, terrible time because the Antichrist will be persecuting them. There'll be a persecution against the people of God like never before seen. And I want to show you that it says there that that happens because, only because, it's granted to him. He is given permission. Let me show you. So Job is the oldest writing we have. Revelation was the last writing we have. And in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, Revelation 13, 7, this is a description of the Antichrist and what's going on here during the tribulation. And it says in verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This is speaking of the Antichrist, who is being managed by the devil, the dragon, and he will lead a persecution in the end against God's people like never before. In fact, it says that In order for anyone to buy or sell, you have to get a mark in your hand or on your forehead, okay? And whoever will not accept the mark, the Bible says they'll be beheaded. Now, the only people who I think will be rejecting the mark are the Christians. And you find, if you jump forward to, we don't have to go there now, I'm running out of time, but if you go to Revelation 20, when Jesus comes back, it says all those who were beheaded because they wouldn't take the mark, they'll be resurrected at that time. So it's going to be a horrible persecution, but I just wanted you to see that the only way that persecution can happen is because it's granted to him. And again, I don't know why, but God has a purpose. Okay, now, last thing I want to talk about. This, I want you to see that in all of this, that this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual war that we're engaged in. I don't want you to, you don't look around at your neighbors and your co-workers, okay, and see them as the enemy that you are to fight against and resist. If we understand this correctly, what's happening is, although they're responsible for their decisions, the Bible says the devil has taken them captive to do his will. Those people are our mission field. Mission field. We're trying to win them to the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They are being controlled by the wicked slave master, the devil. They don't know it. They think they're doing their own thing. Okay? They're making their own decisions, but the devil has them in his control. I want you to think about it that way. It's a spiritual war. Also, at the same time, when people attack you because you belong to Christ, you need to remember that it's not you, really, that they're attacking. They're attacking Jesus in you. Okay? I want you to see both sides of this before we go. Let's go to John chapter 7, verse 7. Just a couple more verses just so I make this point, and then we'll be done. John chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, the world, okay, the world, that's the devil's domain. The world is the whole system that's outside of Christ. That whole system and everything in it. The movies, the music, the drugs, the alcohol, huh?
The news,
the politicians. Everywhere that's outside of Christ, that's the devil's kingdom. That's the world. That's what it means by the world. Okay? And he says in verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. And listen, you can try to be as nice as you want to. Okay? Although I think being nice sometimes is a sin. Not just to be nice. Okay? But you can try to be as kind and gentle as you want to. But if you're going to live for Christ in front of people, they're going to hate it. And why do they hate it? It's not you. It's because your presence, you bring the presence of Christ with you, brings conviction into their life.
Amen.
Just a small example. This is just small, just so you get the idea. If people at work, when they cuss around me, they apologize. I know they could care less whether they cuss or not. And I don't go tell people, hey, would you please stop cussing around me? I don't say that. But they know how I'm living my life. And for some reason, they apologize to me. Okay? That's just a small thing, but it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that because your presence, you bringing the presence of Christ, brings conviction of much deeper stuff. And you will find that sometimes that's why they don't want to be around you. But you got to keep working on it. You got to keep working on it. I was hoping to see a guy here this morning at the 8:30 service that I'm working on and praying for. He didn't make it, but I'm going to keep working on it. There was no chance he was coming not that long ago. And just this week when I talked to him, he gave me a little sliver of hope. Keep working on it. But it's not you. The point I'm trying to make is it's not you. Okay, turn to the next book of the Bible, the book of Acts, chapter 9. This is the Apostle Paul. Before he became the Apostle Paul, before he gets saved, he's persecuting the Christians. Okay? In verse 3, it says, Acts chapter 9, verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting who?
Jesus.
persecuting me.
All that Saul was doing, attacking the church, throwing them into prison, threatening them and causing them to blaspheme God. He was threatening them, making them say Jesus is not the Christ. He says that later in the book of Acts. He gives testimony. Who was he really doing that to? Jesus said he was really doing it to himself. He was really doing it to Christ, not those people. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. They attack Christ in you because he brings conviction into their life. And let's see, I want to show you just one more on the other side of this. So that when you're being attacked, I want you to know it's not them. When they attack you, I'm hoping that you'll be able to see through to the bigger picture. Okay, that they're just doing what their master tells them to do, what their father tells them to do. Remember Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. I want you to see this. Last one. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. This is the last one. Here is a letter to a church by Christ. Jesus says, Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Again, I'm just making the point that I want you to see it from the spiritual perspective. Now, when these people at this church get arrested and they're thrown into prison, will they see the devil? No, they will see people, and they will see soldiers who arrest them and put handcuffs on them and carry them off to prison, right? But Jesus says the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Do you see it from the spiritual side? That it's not them, it's the devil working through them.
Card.
Yeah.
It scares me because there's a movement that people think that they have power over the devil. And the devil is power. Jesus, God, has power over the devil.
Yes.
So we can't command the devil, but we can go to the Father and pray and ask him why the devil. You want to say something to the devil, you say, I'm going to tell my daddy.
The Lord rebuke you.
Yeah.
It says in the book of Jude that even the archangel Michael doesn't fight against the devil, right? When he accuses him. All he says is, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Yeah, you're not to get into a fight with the devil, but you are to resist the devil by drawing near to God, okay? And something else, Larry, that you reminded me that's kind of becoming a thing is there's these ministries that think that you need to be delivered from the devil still, even as a Christian. And that is just not true. If you want to make a note, Colossians 1:13 says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. He does not have power over us. And not only that, Larry, the Bible says, he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. As believers in Christ, we've been given the Holy Spirit, who is God in us. And God in us is greater than the devil that's in the world. That doesn't mean, like Larry said, you have permission to go be a demon slayer. Your job is not to be a demon slayer. Your job is to be a gospel presenter, and you trust Jesus for the power behind that. The way we make a difference is we keep leading people to Christ, one person at a time. That's how we make a difference. And we have Jesus behind us, giving us the power. Remember, it's a spiritual war. The devil is here. He's looking for people to devour. He's trying to cause division. He's trying to ruin families. All of that stuff is true, but he is not all-powerful. He is on a leash. He can only do what he's been given permission to do. And we have to remember that because bad things are going to happen. We're not immune from that. And if we remember that God's in control, that he has an intended goal in mind, then we'll be able to do what Job did. We'll be able to keep praising him no matter what. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. I thank you for the great promises your word gives us, that we're not alone. Your spirit dwells in us, and he who is in us is greater than he that's in the world. I thank you, God, for this information that you've given us that shows that the devil's on a leash. And we're reminded, God, that you alone are all-powerful. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to remember we're in a spiritual war. Help us to remember that when we're attacked. Help us to continue to love even those who make themselves our enemies. Thank you, God, for time in your word. Thank you again, God, for the program that's taking place today. Please bless this second service. Please use it, God, to draw people to yourself. And please bless those who are taking part. Give them strength, God, beyond themselves. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great day, great week.